082060 Daniel Fredrickson versus the United Parcel Service.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Stephen A. Jester, attorney for the plaintiff. The court has heard many arguments this morning, so subject to any questions the court may have of me, my argument will be brief. The plaintiff asserted claims of ADA disability discrimination because of his diagnosed chronic leukemia. He had earned commendations at work at United Parcel Service for being an airline mechanic, but within days of disclosing to his employer his condition, which then was only in its incipient stage zero stage of chronic leukemia, he was already subjected to verbal discipline for allegedly over-inspecting an aircraft. What we seek here, as you know, is a reversal of Judge Kendall's grant of summary judgment on all bases in the defendant UPS's favor and against the plaintiff, a reversal and a remand. The plaintiff contends that the trial court made inappropriate credibility determinations and improperly usurped the function of the trier of fact. We contend that such credibility determinations, including the finding of the court, the trial court, that the plaintiff did not set forth sufficient evidence to create a triable issue that he is disabled. I expect Ms. Girard to argue that the plaintiff's entire case was him, without corroborating medical evidence, etc. And I cannot deny on the basis of the record that the case did constitute, the record, I should say, did constitute, the plaintiff's case did constitute his testimony without much of any medical corroboration. But we submit to the court that such testimony, for the purposes of summary judgment and the tests of summary judgment with which this court is all too familiar, that such testimony adduced in discovery by the plaintiff, including his depositions and other depositions, was sufficient to withstand the grant of summary judgment.
Are you making a failure to accommodate claim?
No, Your Honor.
No.
The plaintiff was relegated to performing backroom filing duties, even though he reported dutifully for work. He's kind of individual who, despite his difficulty in breathing, about which there was testimony, and walking, fought through his shortness of breath issues, his difficulty in walking, and reported for work day in and day out, but nevertheless was relegated to performing backroom filing duties.
How did that disadvantage him to be taken off of the pre-flight inspections?
A matter of pride, Your Honor. Perhaps not so much in terms of financial damage, but he's a very proud man with a very long history with the employer. Last I knew, he was still employed by the employer. Perhaps that has changed, but that has been my understanding. Whereas many jokes could be created about a transfer to Arizona as a plush reassignment, he did not want to transfer to Arizona, but did so for the sake of his health and to the UPS facility in Arizona near Phoenix. He did so for the sake of his health and availing himself of a new work environment, given what he perceived to be the hostility that he was encountering here in Chicago near the airport.
Is your retaliation claim solely an ADA claim?
It was, Your Honor, yes.
But are you raising that claim on appeal?
That was not raised until the reply. We submit that the case bar needs to proceed, among other things, on the material and contested issue of fact, whether the restrictions placed on the plaintiff's ability to perform pre-departure inspections demonstrated that defendant regarded plaintiff as substantially limited in his ability to work with a full range of mechanic duties, regarding which evidence the district court held that the record does not support this contention. Another credibility determination which we submit the district court is not allowed to make under law. And perhaps this court is not accustomed to hearing this, but we have very, very high regard, not only for all the district court judges, but especially Judge Kendall. We just feel in this case she went too far. And while summary judgment, there's no question, can be an appropriate remedy under certain circumstances, there was just too much evidence here that the plaintiff adduced for her to have decided the case by herself.
From the brief, it sounds like Crane and Mize were simply unpleasant supervisors across the board. What evidence is there that they singled Mr. Fredrickson out, and how are those incidents connected to the leukemia?
By the proximity in time after he first alerted his employer that he had learned that he had zero-stage leukemia, and the verbal discipline that followed soon thereafter, followed by the relegation to the back room, so to speak, to do filing duties instead of his what he takes the most pride in, that is pre-departure flight inspections.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Gerard?
May it please the Court and Counsel, Ellen Gerard for United Parcel Service. This is a very straightforward case, Your Honors. This is about a UPS aircraft mechanic who had a diagnosis, not a disability. While we are certainly all sympathetic toward Mr. Fredrickson's diagnosis of leukemia, the threshold question in this case is whether he was disabled as defined by the ADA. As Judge Kendall properly concluded in her extremely thorough 42-page opinion, the answer is simply no. Mr. Jester did not have the opportunity to represent Mr. Fredrickson in the district court, so he may not recognize that Mr. Fredrickson did claim both disparate treatment and a failure to accommodate. However, both of those claims require the threshold showing that he was a qualified individual with a disability in order to avail himself of the protections under the ADA.
Has anyone else been disciplined for over-inspecting an aircraft prior to departure? I mean, boy, it sure sounds like a good thing, not something deserving of punishment.
Your Honor, that's a good question. The record showed that Mr. Crane, who was the manager at the time, did in fact talk with other employees about what he phrased as over-inspecting. And while to you and me it may sound like over-inspecting would be a good thing, there are periodic inspections, and there's a page of the testimony about this intricate schedule of testing and inspections that UPS, as one of the world's largest airlines, and all the other large airlines do. But the pre-inspection, the pre-departure inspection, I'd like to explain that for a moment because I know that's a key issue in the case, is Mr. Fredrickson was on the afternoon shift at the O'Hare Gateway. So when he came into work, the planes had been sitting there since the wee hours of the morning, and the morning crew had already done a more extended inspection. So when Mr. Fredrickson's shift came in, they did any sort of repairs that needed to be done, any sort of one-off issues, and then they got the planes ready for departure. The pre-departure inspection was, as there was testimony in the record from both Mr. Crane and from one of the other mechanics, is a walk-around inspection to be done in the eyes of the flight crew. So that was something that even the pilot should have been doing, just walking around the plane to see if there were any noticeable areas of damage after the plane had been sitting there all day.
Had Fredrickson been warned prior to February of 2004 about excessive time spent on over-inspection on this pre-departure?
Yes, he had, Your Honor. And in fact, there's a lot of testimony in the record that there was a contentious relationship between particularly Mr. Crane and Mr. Fredrickson, and a lot of it had to do with Mr. Fredrickson at the time was a union steward, and a lot of times he was what I guess
we could
call overzealous and aggressive in the inspections of the planes.
And this was before Mr. Fredrickson even had a clue that he might have leukemia, is that right?
Correct. There's a lot of information in the evidence in the record that he complained about Mr. Crane going well years back before he was diagnosed with leukemia. And even after he had been diagnosed with leukemia, in July of 2005, one of what he calls his complaints was to the UPS 1-800 employee helpline. And that phone call, he indicated that there was harassment going on at the O'Hare Gateway for all of the employees, never mentioned a thing about his leukemia.
Was there a plan in place for him to return to conducting pre-departure inspections?
There had been. In fact, when Mr. Crane met with Mr. Fredrickson in June or July of 2004, they were going over the plane that Mr. Fredrickson had grounded that day, and Mr. Crane did think it was needless that it was grounded. And at that meeting, Mr. Fredrickson sat there with his arms crossed and looked at Mr. Crane across the table and said, "I will never agree with you on your levels of inspection." So there you had it. Mr. Crane decided he had tried numerous times to talk with Mr. Fredrickson and coach him into following the UPS protocol, and he refused.
Why did UPS fail to expunge his discipline on file related to the recurrent training test guidelines?
Your Honor, that was in September 05, I believe, when there was an arbitrator's decision that needed to be expunged. And what happened was, because Mr. Fredrickson had had progressive discipline, there was some issue as to whether they would just simply remove the warning letter associated with that recurrent test that he had taken, or, in fact, if they would just reduce the notice of suspension to a warning letter, which would be better for Mr. Fredrickson. So while they were debating that between labor and the union stewards, it just got lost in the shuffle, and it was really an inadvertent error. But both parties knew they couldn't have used that discipline. They had an arbitrator's decision out there saying they couldn't.
But did the other employees who received discipline have the discipline expunged pursuant to the arbitrator's order?
I don't believe that information was in the record, Your Honor.
Okay.
I see my time is almost up. If there are no further questions, I would just like to add that Mr. Fredrickson did not point to any evidence in the district court, and certainly not on appeal, that would indicate that he was disabled in any of the major life activities he identified, that's walking and breathing, or that he was regarded as being disabled in the major life activity of working. Thank you, Your Honors.
You do have some if you wish.
Unless the court has any questions.
Any questions? No. Thank you so much. Thanks to both counsel. And this case will be taken under advisement.